and welcome to Alzheimer's Speaks Radio. I'm your host, Lori LeBay, and I'm so excited that you're joining us today. We are going to have a fascinating conversation, as usual, as we learn from people all around the world at all ages and stages of life. Stay tuned as we shift our dementia care from crisis to comfort.
Here we go. What you think about?
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to Alzheimer's Speaks. I'm Lori LeBay, and I'll be your host today. And I'm thrilled you can join us here on Alzheimer's Speaks. We always try to raise the voice of people around the world at all ages and stages because we can't make sustainable change without that. And today we're going to be talking with a group about how to find and develop connections through reminiscing. But before I introduce you to the group, I always like to give a shout out to a couple support groups I do and to invite you in. One is Arthur's Memory Cafe. We meet the second and fourth Wednesday of each month from about 1 to 3 o'clock Central Time, and that is virtual. And then the Caregiver Connect program, which meets in person in the Shoreview Community Center here in Minnesota. And we meet the last Wednesday of the month from 10 to 11:30. We also offer respite for those that are appropriate for group activities for people living with dementia as well. If you're interested in either one of those, you can contact me at Lori@AlzheimerSpeaks.com. And Lori is L-O-R-I. You might also be interested in participating in Dementia Chats, which is a panel of true experts of those diagnosed, or Dementia in the Arts, which features people living with dementia and their artwork. And all varieties of art are welcome. Again, just reach out to me at Lori@AlzheimerSpeaks.com. I would also encourage you to visit our website. And when you go to AlzheimerSpeaks.com, just click on the free educational resources. You will also find information on Dementia Map there, which is our global resource directory. And there is also a book tab for our book, Betty the Bald Chicken, Lessons in How to Care. It's written as a children's book, but it's great for all ages. Our feedback has been wonderful, and it is not dementia specific, so it can be used for bullying and divorce and chronic illness and addictions and all kinds of things. So please go ahead and check those out. And let's go ahead and introduce you to our guest today. I know you're going to enjoy this conversation. Well, ladies, I am so excited to have you join us today. This has been on the calendar for a while, and we've had to, you know, kind of go with the flow, just like we do with dementia when things pop up. Sometimes I have to reschedule things and reprioritize. So I'm going to have each one of these ladies introduce themselves because they can do a much better job than I can. And Lori, you want to start, please?
Sure. My name is Lori Yauch, and I'm a speech pathologist with 32 years experience in the field. And 22 of those have been spent as a clinician and author specializing in dementia care. I have been an independent contractor to long-term care centers, assisted living centers, outpatient centers, and private practices. In fact, I met Allison in long-term care. I met Dorothy in assisted living. So you meet all kinds of people and you find that, you know, care is needed and you find your niche. And I really found my niche in dementia care. And although I love my job, my passion really is my website, meaningfulmemorymaker.com. And there I publish books and videos for families and caregivers who want to bridge the gap in communication and find ways to reminisce and communicate in a much easier and friendly manner.
We all need friendly.
Dementia care needs to be friendly. That's right.
Got to be fluid. Dorothy, you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
My name is Dorothy Ardern, and I was a caregiver for my mom who had dementia for several years. I took care of her at home as long as I could, and then she went to assisted living, which turned out to be a really good thing because that's where I met Lori, who told me all about the books that she did, but we can, talk about that later. But I really, it made my mom's journey, I think, a lot easier to have books to remind her of family and friends, and that's just about it. I'm so glad I met Lori because it meant a lot to my mom to have the books that Lori made.
Well, and it's
Thank you.
nice for you to mention that because, there's a lot of families that hear about things, but they don't try them.
You
And
know,
so.
I never knew that such a thing as this even existed. If I hadn't seen Lori, I wouldn't have known that there are things like this, and it was a great benefit for my mom. I
Yep.
knew
So your mom is thankful for both of you.
that. Oh, yes. As a matter of fact,
Yes.
well, I've got the books right here now. So,
Wonderful.
yeah.
Thank you. Allison, you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure. Yes. I'm a speech language pathologist in the Gulf Coast area of Florida. So I've been in the field for 14 years, working exclusively with the adult aging population. When I went back to school, I was a career changer. When I went back to school to do this, I knew I wanted to work with adults. And I've just seen that the gains that we make with this population, they're geared towards independence. That's why I've always wanted to work with them.
Wonderful. I'm going to ask each of you if you've been personally touched by dementia in your own family or circle of friends. And Allison, I'm going to start with you.
Well, I would say most of my experience with dementia has been just in my work in the long-term care setting. Where, I've found it really rewarding to see the changes that we can make in the dementia patients' lives, to see the improvements in their daily functioning. I've found that rewarding in a way that my prior office type job wasn't rewarding, which is what brought me to speech pathology. As far as like personally being touched by dementia, not my family, my husband's family had he's had some relatives that had dementia. So, I had a bit of experience with them before they left us.
Okay, great. Thank you. And Dorothy, do you mind telling us a little bit more about your scenario with your mom? And if you've been touched by others in your family as well?
Yes. My aunt. My mother's older sister had Alzheimer's disease, so and we kind of saw exactly what happened, when it happens in the family when they start losing memory and that. So, that was one other person that I know of in my family. Yes, but with my mom, it was a very slow progression because really she was in her mid-90s before. She was
Wow.
part of the greatest generation, and she was very independent, very strong lady. So when it happened, I knew she was, fighting it with everything she had. So, but she did very well. It wasn't until, she was, gosh, close to 98, 99 years old when she passed. But that's when she started really forgetting people, forgetting names. And when I had the books, she could look at the pictures and it was almost like it would spark a little bit of recall for her. And it helped, I think, to have those. My mom carried the book, obviously, that she must have taken it with her everywhere because it is, it's very, very, you can see that it's kind of crumpled and edges have been dog-eared and that for favorite pages. I'm unsure what else to say because she was doing quite well, really. But that was it was a big help to have this set up because it's not like looking at a scrapbook the way Lori did it. It is more like a story of, a life history, and so she could go in and read it and it had, you know, all of the names and stories behind the pictures in the book. So I know my mom loved it. She had it with her everywhere, and I can tell by the condition that she had it with her.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you for sharing.
That does my heart so good.
Lori, how about you? Were you personally touched in your own family and friends by dementia?
Actually, yes. When I was a teenager, my grandparents came to live with us because my grandfather was experiencing memory changes and wandering and things like that. And at that time, we had no name for it, didn't understand it, had no name for it, and really didn't know what to do. So he lived with us for a little while. And when he wandered too much, forgot too much, and my grandmother couldn't assist because she herself was ill, and my mother was raising four children, and we couldn't take care of him the way that we wanted to, he went into a long-term care facility and passed away 2 weeks later. After that, my grandmother came to live with us, and she was a very, very sad and very, very angry lady. She was angry that her husband had been taken away. She was angry that the independence that she had in her own home had been taken away, and took a lot of her frustration and anger out on all of us. My mother, my sisters, my brothers, and myself, which was not pleasant, but we tried to understand. And by the time I got to college and grad school, I said to my mother, you know, if we knew then what I know now about dementia and grief and dementia care, we would have been a lot happier family. And my grandmother would have been able to deal with my grandfather a lot better, and we would have been a happier family. And that was that may not have been the initial reason that I went into speech pathology and dementia care, but it certainly informed my curiosity.
Well, thank you. Lori, can you tell us a little bit about your approach to dementia care and how your products reflect to that approach and that philosophy for people to implement?
Well, I believe in reminiscence as a bridge to dementia care. I believe that every life has a story worth sharing and worth telling. And we know that a lot of where memory sits for folks with dementia is in long term. So I also believe that we need to go where those folks are. We need to find where they are, and we need to go to them rather than them coming to us. So that's really where a lot of the products started. The About books came, that Dorothy has mentioned, came about from a friend of mine whose mother was in long-term care, and she was going through some changes, some communication changes, and having difficulty getting her needs met. So my friend wanted her mother to have some tool that would allow her caregivers to know her needs and wants and her likes and dislikes, so that her caregivers could be more efficient in the care that they gave. So that's where the About books came from. And when my friend came to me, I said, I can help you put something together that not only will allow your mom to get her needs met, but let's put some pictures in and let's tell a story. Let's tell the story of her life so that this person who's being taken care of is not just the lady in 103A. She is Dorothy, she is Gloria, she is Virginia, and she had a life, and she has a lovely story to tell. So that's where the About books came from. And I'm really, really proud of the way that they have been received and used, because again, this is a tool that people can use to share their life when they may no longer be able to express their story.
Well, that's the about books. How is that different from the personal history books that you do?
Well, the personal history books came out of an idea when I was looking for some pictures to put together for a memorial service for my mother. My brother got down about 10 out of maybe 20 or 30 books that we had. And my family is going through all of these books and trying to pick out the best pictures to showcase her life story. And I got to thinking, wouldn't it be great if we picked out 50 to 100 of our favorite photos and we put them into a book and we told the life story of the family. So the personal history book is more a story of not just one person, it's the life and growth of a family. So that's where that came from. And I think Dorothy can talk a little bit about that too, because I made one for her family.
We'll get to Dorothy in a minute. I also wanted to ask you about your video greetings. What is that?
Oh, the video greeting. Well, that came out of the pandemic. It was gift giving time. It was my brother's birthday and I wanted to get him something. And my brother said, no, don't get me anything because I don't need anything. It's the pandemic. And so I sat down and I thought, well, I have to give him something. So I sat down and I started looking through some digital pictures. I started looking through from some photo albums and I thought, wouldn't it be great to put a happy birthday video together? So I did, and he loved it. The way I know that people love it is that they cry. They cry because it's beautiful. And so I appreciated that. And then after that, I sent one to my eldest brother. And then after that, I sent one to my niece. And my sister said to me, this is so cool. Why don't you put it on your website? Because other people will want to have a video greeting for any occasion, for birthdays, for holidays, for anniversaries, for memorial events. So I decided to do that. And so what I ask for when I have people do it for me is 35 to 50 pictures. And tell me what your favorite piece of music is, and I'll put it together in such a way that it, again, tells your story in a different way. Maybe not chronologically, but a way that reflects your life.
That's really cool. I wanted to also ask you about what inspired you to do the movies and music project itself, and how is that unique?
Oh, my goodness. Movies and music. That came out of working in long-term care with a friend of mine. Her name was Angie, and she was an activity director. And she used to do Friday movie group. And we got together and did Friday movie group together for a little while. And it came to pass that she said to me one day, why don't you start picking out the movies? You're a movie buff. And it's true. I'm a very big classic movie music buff. I love anything from Gene Kelly or Fred Astaire. I could spend hours and days talking to you about both of those people and just about all kinds of movies. And so she said, why don't you start picking the movies? So I picked a couple of my favorite movie musicals. We gathered some people around the DVD player. And one of the unique things I did is rather than just put the DVD in and say, and go and just sit and watch them watch the movie, I started to ask questions. I started to pause the DVD. I started to ask questions about what the folks were seeing and what was going on in the movie, or how did a particular scene in the movie relate to their personal history, or when we got to our favorite song, like everybody knows Easter Bonnet from Easter Parade. So whenever we got to a favorite song, everybody would sing, and it was just a really interesting, engaging activity. So no longer were movies just a sedentary event. They were actually an interactive event that promoted communication, memory, singing, and all those things that you want to address with the dementia population. And it was just a great, great activity, and it was a lot of fun. And by this time, I'd been working in long-term care for about, 15 to 22 years, and I was getting really frustrated with my job. I loved my job, but I was getting frustrated with the way things worked, as we often do when we work for other people. And I thought, I'm either going to have to leave my job or I'm going to have to change it. So when I changed it by introducing these movies with my friend, it my job became more and more fun, and I looked forward to every Friday. It was just a great, great time. Everybody was singing and laughing and having a great time. But what happened was, if I wasn't there, my friend Angie didn't do the group. And I asked her why, and she said, because I don't know what to say. I don't know what to ask. I don't know what scenes to show. And I don't know what to do. So I thought, what if I wrote it down? What if I picked 12 movies that everybody knows, and I wrote some information, some background information about the film, and then I wrote some questions to ask for each particular scene that I chose to show. And I always pick the most famous scenes because they're the most recognizable, and the most famous songs because they're the most singable. And that way anybody could do it. And if I could do it and I wrote it down and anybody could do it, we could just spread a whole bunch of joy to everybody. And it'd be a great, great time and an easy activity to do. And so that's where that came from.
Okay. So I have a question on that, because, you know, nowadays, I mean, we have a lot of younger people that might not know some of the old classics. Mm-hmm. So how does that work if they're not familiar with the song? Does the group just kind of pick up and carry them? Because I guess when I think of my mom being in long-term care, I mean, if I said, let's sing, I wouldn't have to sing, because they would know the tunes, and there were always a few in there that knew
right, from
beginning to end.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-494-8310. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-494-8310. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-494-8310.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Well, Allison, do you want to talk about that since you've done the group?
Sure. Well, I mean, if you're asking about younger generation that isn't familiar with the songs, that hasn't been my experience, I have to say, because I've done the group, I've used, and I have my movies and music with me today. I've used it just with aging adults in long-term care, and so they are familiar with the music. And, you know, the book, when I've done groups using it, has been really just a great activity. Sometimes therapeutic activities aren't ones that the residents you're working with are looking forward to, or maybe they're difficult for them. Using this book and the movies and the type of questions that Lori has in there, it creates an activity that they're enjoying. It engages them. It definitely, it elicits communication. And like Lori was saying, all the things you want to work on, right? Singing and communication as well. You can address problem solving and sequencing, things like that. And, you know, it, she has it split up into months, which is a really nice feature too. So the end of the year is like the close of the book, right? And December, it's White Christmas. And so there are questions in there that make the movies relatable to family experiences. There's just so much reminiscence that can come out of all the questions that she has in the book.
For the music, are the lyrics in there too?
No, they're not. When I set up the book and I tell you what scenes to show and where to start and stop the video, I tell you a line to stop at. If you're not paying attention to the DVD counter, which many people don't, I tell you what line to stop at. But the songs are so familiar that you don't really need the lyrics. Everybody knows the lyrics to Easter Bonnet. Everybody knows the lyrics to White Christmas. Everybody knows the lyrics to, What a Beautiful Morning. So it didn't really seem to me that I needed to include them. And plus, because it's sing along, you're singing along with the DVD. You're singing along with the person who's singing in the movie.
Gotcha. So I'm identifying a problem that doesn't exist. So that's a good thing. You know, you guys know your markets.
One other thing that's interesting, Lori, when you mentioned about, you know, what if people aren't familiar with the films? Mm-hmm. Someone mentioned to me not long ago that, you know, some of the people who would most benefit from these films are the older generation, and that older generation is getting older, and what happens when there isn't one. And the way I feel about that is I feel like the classic movie musical is no different. Introducing a classic movie musical really is no different than introducing classic literature to the next generation. You never say that, you know, classic literature is out of style. So it's just a matter of introducing it to the next generation.
Very true. In fact, I had my granddaughter who's 13. We were going to watch movies and we were kind of voting with the kids on what we're going to watch. And she said, my favorite movie is White Christmas. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, that was just a shocker to me. And she's like, nope, that's my favorite. I'd like to watch that one. That was her vote.
Excellent.
And so, yeah. And I'm sure we watched it together before, but for it to kind of stick in her craw and, you know, and then movies are so accessible nowadays compared to what they used to be. But again, when you're dealing with people with dementia, it's nice to have that direction in terms of what to do and when to do it. Just like we were talking with, the activities person who was like, well, I didn't do it because I don't know what you do, and you do it beautifully. So we'll just wait for you to come back. You
know? Exactly. And, you know, it didn't really occur to me till she said that I should write it down, because I know those movies. These are movies that I grew up with. These are movies that I love. And I know these movies and I know what to ask and I know what to do. And it just didn't occur to me that everybody would know that. So that was the impetus for writing it down. And once I wrote it down, more people were interested and more people did it. And it's very gratifying to me that other clinicians enjoy it as much as I do.
Wonderful. Allison, when you worked with people with the movies and music, is there a favorite story or two of a reaction from some of the participants that you'd like to share?
Definitely. I can think of people really, really enjoying these movies, right? Because as I was saying, very different from other therapeutic materials, being able to watch a movie. So, you know, Singing in the Rain, I can just picture a group watching this with me and people humming along and nodding their heads, right? And definitely some people that maybe you didn't hear speaking normally or you heard nothing from them and they weren't very engaged with those around them, And the music and the movie just unlocks that. And suddenly they're participating and they're humming and they're singing. So that's definitely a memory, you know, we're using these materials made all the difference.
Oh, and I can see that. I know we did some videos of my mom when she was in her later stages. And I have, I don't know, probably 9 little short little videos on my YouTube channel. And she does. She just comes alive. Couldn't really speak. We were going to do it for an hour. She only lasted half an hour and she would doze off. But then she would, at certain lines, she would just perk right up, or she would giggle, or her toes would start going, or her hands would start clapping, or, you know, whatever it was. But you could just, the joy in her face was undeniable that she was connected with that. And there's nothing more beautiful than to be able to see that in a loved one or a client, because we don't see that as often as we'd like, especially as the disease progresses. But there are ways to be able to pull that out, but people need to learn how to do that and what tools can help them like this. So thank you, Allison, for sharing that.
Yeah. I just want to add, so being able to bring that level of engagement, it's a comfort to those who are experiencing dementia. It's a great comfort to them. It's a validation for them. You know, it's such value.
And it's a value to all of us around it, to witness it too. I mean, you kind of see that ripple effect in the room, especially when you had mentioned somebody who normally doesn't engage and all of a sudden is. Everybody kind of turns and is like, oh, wow. You know, it's like magic. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
wow, they still do that? Or they can still do that?
Yeah. It's like you got fairy dust in your pocket and you're spinning around. You know?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. For people who are just tuning in right now, we are talking with a group of people regarding Meaningful Memory Maker. And it's just been a fascinating conversation. We're going to continue that. But I just wanted to give you the website in case you want to pop over there. Again, it's meaningfulmemorymaker.com. You can also find them on Facebook. They've got a group there, Movies and Music. Same on Twitter or X, Movie and Music 2. And they also have a YouTube channel as well, and an email. And I will have all of that in the show notes for you. But let's go ahead and continue. So, Dorothy, I want to go to you and hear a little bit more about your caregiving experience with your mom. And you had mentioned a little bit about the About books, but can you talk in a little more detail? How did you choose what to send? And what was it like to get that book in your own hands?
Oh, when I first saw it, I was really amazed. Picking out the pictures was actually very easy because, fortunately, my mom had a lot of very old photos from when she was a little girl, right on, you know, growing up. So I was able to take these pictures and turn them over to Lori, along with descriptions of when the pictures were taken and who was actually in the picture. And she was able to make a storyline out of everything that I gave her. And from the time that my mom was just a little tiny girl until, you know, she went into assisted living. So it was really amazing. And what I have to mention, because you mentioned the pandemic before, having that book when I couldn't get in to see my mother because we weren't really allowed to go in. You know, we had to either sit, you know, on one side of a window. She would be on one side, I would be on the other, because they were in lockdown, or else I had to stay 6 feet away from her. So when I couldn't go in to visit her, she had her book. And I think that was really a huge help right there. She had, you know, family with her, so to speak, because she could look at our pictures at any time she wanted. So that was a big help. But yes, just picking out the pictures was the easy part. I mean, Lori was the one that had to sort through everything and figure it all out. And she did a remarkable job. Really, it came out. I was stunned when I saw it, and everybody who looked at it was really, really thrilled with it, because it's such a beautiful book. The Actually, the next book, The Personal Family History, I did that for me. Because again, it goes back not just my mom's story, but the whole family. And again, I just gave Lori more pictures of everybody basically in our family, along with the, you know, dates attached to them and this little bit of a description of it. And again, she was able to make a whole story out of it. It isn't just a scrapbook. It's like the actual family history, the story. And she managed to put that all together, and it came out very, very beautiful. If I don't know how well you can see this, but it's I was just so glad that she was doing this, because like I said, I don't know of anybody in this area that was doing this. So, you know, and now that my mom and dad have both passed away, it's like, I've got these as keepsakes and can, you know, pass them on as well. So,
as a consumer, how easy was it for you to give Lori what she was asking for?
It was actually very, very easy, because you can do all of it. Actually, I took pictures and put them in the little iPhone and sent them that way, or else loaded them onto the computer and just sent them to Lori. So it was not at all difficult to do.
Do you have like text attached to different pictures then?
I put names on the pictures. I would just like handwrite it underneath. I just put them all on a piece of paper basically, and then handwrite who was in the picture and the date on the picture, and then maybe a little bit of a blurb as to, you know, where we were, what we were doing, you know, and Lori just put it all together.
Okay. Basically.
And then she'd send it to me and just go over it and proofread it, and you know, she'd fine tune it and make a book out of it.
Wow. Lori, how long does it take you to...
Each book varies, and it depends upon how many pictures, and it depends upon the timeline of the consumer and also my timeline. But all things being equal, I can probably get it done for you within a month.
Okay.
And what's nice about the way that you can do it via meaningfulmemorymaker.com is you can upload all the pictures, as Dorothy said, to the website, and you can upload any kind of documents that you want to send me to the website, as long as they're digital. Take them with your iPhone or your iPad and upload them to the website, and then I take them from the website and I organize them, and then I begin to tell the story. But I'm also with you every step of the way. If any questions that you have, every version that I come up with, is this right for you? Is this what you want to say? So you can call me, you can text me, you can email me throughout the entire process with questions, and I'm there through the whole process.
Imagine the pricing is going to vary depending on how big the book is and how many pictures and things.
The pricing for the about book is pretty standard. It's $75 for the about book and $97 for the personal history. And most of that price is due to the effort. It's not necessarily that, although past a certain number of pictures, I may charge a nominal fee for each additional picture, but the pricing is mostly for the effort that it takes to put a quality product together.
Well, and most of us are novices and we don't want to learn that process. So, I mean, even though it's going to take you time, it's going to take us a lot more time if we start from scratch.
Exactly.
And many of us would give up and it wouldn't get done. If people want to order, let's say, a few books, do they get a discount at all if there's multiple books to give as gift to family members? Because I just think, oh my gosh, that would be so cool to be able to give to your kids and your grandkids as well.
You can go to the website and there's discounts, I think beyond two copies. When you go to the website, meaningfulmemorymaker.com, and search for the about books or the personal family history books, you'll see a page that tells you how much they are and the discounts for multiple copies. And I think once you get to six or seven copies, you have to call me.
Wonderful. And yeah. Then for the movies and music, is that specifically for communities or is that something families can purchase as well, just as a guide for, you know, maybe family movie night?
Oh, I think it's for everybody. When I wrote the original version in I began movies and music as a project in 2008. And the original version came out in 2010, and it was specifically designed for clinicians in long-term care because that's where I sat. Mm-hmm. But then in 2012, I decided to revamp it and make it accessible to everybody. So anyone can buy it on the website, and there are tips for, in the beginning of each chapter, there are tips for successful gatherings for families, for clinicians, and for teachers. And so anybody can use it, and it does make a really nice family movie night, especially if you have someone who has memory changes. And you, again, I tell you where to start and stop the DVD, what questions to ask to garner the most communication, and just lots and lots of information about the movies themselves. So it's a very nice tool for clinicians like Allison. I even give some tips about how to document.
Yeah, right. And all clinicians, I think, would appreciate that, right? Documentation is half of what we do sometimes.
Right, yeah. Right. And and one of the reasons that came about, if you'll allow me, is the fact that a clinician who I showed it to, who was actually a very close friend at the time, said to me, well, this is really nice, Lori, but I don't know that I would use it because Medicare is not going to pay for showing movies. And I said, but that's not what it is. Right. Movies are the catalyst, but it's actually a language-based program. And if you know that it's a language-based program, then you can document in that way. And that's what inspired me to give you some ideas of how to do it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I could see this being wonderful, even in the, you know, the different schools, just testing it out or internships and things like that, for them to be able to see that other side, because I think sometimes when we do the internships, they are very clinical based sometimes, and they don't have the kind of that fun engagement. Like Allison was saying, you know, it kind of takes you by surprise that this method can be clinical and can be beneficial on that level, because it's something we all do naturally. We just don't understand what's happening. We don't think about what's happening when we do it in our day-to-day lives. And what the benefits are. You know, we know it makes us happy and we kind of leave it at that, but we don't think of, I think, always applications to help remove the isolation that so many people are feeling, especially our elders and those living with dementia, you know, as we age. And, you know, you add the pandemic and the flu and all the other goofy bugs running around, you know, that people are kind of pulling back. It becomes more and more important every day. Kudos to you for, you know, stepping into this space, and powerful, powerful tool. I'd like to ask Dorothy, in terms of reminiscence, if you're talking to other family members to encourage them to play with reminiscence tools and things like this, what would you tell them to entice them to do that? Because I think sometimes people don't even understand it. I think sometimes people look at the word reminiscence and they're not even sure how to pronounce it, let alone, okay, I'm not going to learn about it. You know, I'll find something easier at times. And I think it's just such an important piece. So from one caregiver to another, what would you say to someone?
It means so much to me to remember these things. And having these pictures, it's one thing to have a box full of photographs, you know, and you can go through them. It's so disjointed that way. But when you have it all put in one place and you have the storyline along with it, it's so much easier to, you know, there's more of a flow to it. Anybody can, you know, look through pictures and that. And to me, it makes more sense to have something like a book that you can, you know, start at the beginning and, you know, follow the life all the way through to the end. But what would I say to someone? I'm not quite sure how to phrase it, but it's just take the pictures and things that are the most important to you, that you like the most, that really give you a nice memory or a nice feeling, and take it and put that aside, and take, you know, anything like that, put it all in one place. And to me, like I said, it makes more sense to have it all in a book where you can look at all of your favorite pictures and along with the story, because one of the problems that I found with a lot of our pictures is there are no names or dates on them. And when that happens, unless you have the person there to tell you, you know, what, who it is and where this was and when it was, you've lost that picture. So this way I've got the pictures, I've got them right now. And that to me is most important.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I'm thinking back to, you know, my dad had brain cancer, my mom had dementia, and we had some photo albums, you know, but they were big and clunky. We did the homemade ones, you know, yeah, that you had, and they took up a ton of room and stuff could fall out of them, you know, at times and things. And they were just a little cumbersome. And then we had the plastic bin full of photos that I remember having to go through, you know, when my parents passed. And I started doing it prior, but there were so many pictures we didn't know who people were. I had so much guilt over that. So I really recommend people go through that stuff earlier, organize it. I mean, because you can always make another book too. You can do a portion of life, and then, but just to have it in one spot that's condensed and simple in a friendly fashion to be able to review. And again, you can get stories. People can get comfort just from looking at the pictures, even if they're not able to talk anymore. I mean, you're gonna be able to see that in their body language and from the frayed pages, like you said, that are dog-eared in your book from your mom carrying that thing around. That held great importance to her and probably grounded her in her life. And not only did she get joy, but you got joy in other family members. So this is bigger than just the person you're doing it for. And I think sometimes people don't understand that whole legacy piece and how that ripples out with a product like this. Did you want to show us a dog-eared page or something? I saw the book flipping there.
A little bit crumpled actually, yeah, it looks like some of the pages, I tried to smooth them out. I've been pressing it actually to try to get it straightened out again, but it just goes to show how much it meant to her that she kept it with her all the time and used the book. It just didn't sit somewhere. She had it with her and she was looking at it.
So neat.
That's why it meant a lot.
Allison, how about you? Any points you want to make for people to tap in?
Even though I don't have one of those books and I haven't had a direct experience with it, but what I see is that Lori takes a task that could, for me, would be daunting to go through all the pictures, right? And to condense them and make them into a story, I think would be just amazing. Right. So benefit from that? I think everybody has a plastic box, like what you were talking about, the plastic box that no one wants to go through. So to have someone to be able to sort that all out and put it, you know, in some meaningful way that tells a story, I think is wonderful.
Well, and I think of just what a great gift this would be for elder law attorneys, even communities. You know, they spend so much money on marketing materials and pens and coffee mugs that it's like, okay, I don't really need another coffee mug filled with chocolates, you know, because I came in. I mean, all of those little things, I mean, they're nice, but I'm not going to remember them as much as I would with a gift like this.
Exactly.
You know? And I think that kind of stuff is important, or our families are always looking at gifts to give. In fact, I'm going to mention this, Lori. I'm doing some shorts for Christmas gifts, and I'm going to mention these in there because I think it's, people don't know this stuff exists. You know, they know that you can make a book, but it's like, oh, like Allison said, oh, that's a lot of work and I got no time or energy. And then I have to open up the plastic bin. You know? And so it gets shelved, you know. So pricing, you know, gosh, for under $100, that's like a no brainer to be able to have your family story, you know, put together.
And the nice thing about the way that I do it versus the way another company might do it, because there are companies nationally that will do family history books, hardcover books for you. But in my recent research, those books take a year to compile. And that's an awful lot of time to wait. So in my view, if you just can give me particularly for the family history book, if you can just give me about 100 pictures, 100 of your favorite, because there are pictures and pictures and pictures and book and photo albums galore. I probably have 100 photo albums in 3 closets in my house, but I don't want to have to look through all of those books to find my favorite pictures. So pick out 100 of your favorites that tell your family story from one perspective or the other, and help and give me some information and I'll help you write your story and I can have it done for you in a month. So there's that too. So there may be other people that do it, but I do it a little bit differently. And as Dorothy mentioned, she's not, and I'm not aware either of anyone who does the about book the way that I do it, because the about book not only has the story, but it also has tips and tricks for taking care of someone who is losing communication skills and can't tell you what they want and what they want, what they need, and what makes them happy. And part of the about book is that this is what makes me happy. And if you do this for me, we will get along a whole lot better.
I think the thing that's important too, really, in summarizing what you said, is you get this population, you get this niche, you understand the needs physically, emotionally, and those of the care partners as well. And when you go to a regular, let's put a book together, it's very generic. It's fill in the blanks. We'll send it to you and you can maneuver where you want things. But to have that insight and to have someone who really, I think, who really cares about telling the story makes a big difference.
Thank you.
Any last minute comments that anybody wants to say, anything that we missed?
I just have one other thing I wanted to say. And in dementia care, we've been spending a lot of time talking about reminiscence, of course. But one of the other reasons why I like reminiscence so much is because it meets the person that you're working with where they are. There is no cognitive load for them because their memories are their own. And it doesn't matter whether they're right or wrong. They're their memories. And when you do reminiscence activities with them, you're meeting them where they are and you're building that communication bridge because they can communicate about what they know. And what they know is what they were.
Exactly. That's a wonderful, wonderful point to make. You know, we always say, you know, step into their world, and that world is your world. But I think it also teaches us joy in a different fashion. And I don't think people understand sometimes when we're doing something like reminiscing with someone, we put it in a place where I'm doing it for them, but there's really gifts back to you in participating and facilitating that. You can have some very joyful, meaningful moments. And those are the things that are going to stick with you. And sometimes they're very, very small and just seconds long, you know, as the disease progresses. But I know for me, they're the most powerful. Even like with my mom, with those little videos we did, and my audience has heard this from me a few times, but I don't think I can say it enough. I can have like one of my worst days and I'll go watch one of those videos and life is good. You know, it's just that simple presence of joy and feeling connected, that sense of gratitude that you have for your family. You know, it's important stuff.
Absolutely.
But I think for staff too, they don't get enough moments of joy.
That's
they don't
true.
Get enough moments of connection because we have forced them to be so task oriented. So this is healthy and a good thing for everybody on multiple levels.
Yeah.
And I think we have to get back to caring for people at that level. And I think we've sidestepped that a lot lately.
Yeah. And try to remember that the person you're caring for isn't just the lady in 102A. She's Virginia. Or exactly. She's Alice.
Yeah, that's very, very important. Well, in wrapping up, ladies, I want to say thank you so much for being with us. We've been talking about meaningful memory makers. And Lori is the founder of that. Allison is a speech and language pathologist, and Dorothy cared for her mom, and each has given us such great examples in terms of the importance of reminiscent therapy and how it can be used, and the different products that are available to you if you are a family member or a professional. So I always ask my listeners to be a giver of hope. Like, click, and share this show. Pass it along. You know, don't keep the nuggets to yourself. You don't know who in your sphere needs this information, because this is not a topic that is openly talked about. People don't talk about struggling with caring for another one, if it's professional or if it's a family member. And we need to get these services, products, and tools out to them. And you can be a catalyst to help launch that and get the information people need into the right hands. So again, I appreciate you joining us in being a giver of hope in doing that. Again, we have all of the website and social media and email information in the show notes, so you can find that there. And I want to wish you all a wonderful holiday season. And maybe some of you are thinking, I got to get this book, you know, and I can, you know, she probably can't rush everybody's, you know, to get you out before Christmas. So just to forewarn you, but gift giving and giving joy and creating legacy is something we need year round. So it doesn't have a drop dead date for the holidays, guys. Keep that in mind. Again, one last thing I want to mention, check out AlzheimerSpeaks.com and pass on all those free educational resources that we have. And if you're inclined, go ahead and purchase Betty the Bald Chicken. Bye, everyone. Well, hi, I'm Lori LeBay, and I wanted to tell you about Alzheimer Speaks, which is another great podcast. You see, my own mother lived with dementia for 30 years, and I felt lost. Did you know every 3 seconds someone in the world is being diagnosed with dementia? Odds are it's going to hit your families too. We want to help you connect to services, products, tools, research, and stories so you can be prepared. Please subscribe to Alzheimer Speaks on your favorite podcast platform.